Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Starseed Radio Academy, empowering Starseed to better serve the planet.
Welcome to Starseed Radio Academy. It's Tuesday, March 13th, 2012, and I'm your host, Arielle Taylor, with my co-hosts, Lavendar and Sierra. Our featured guest this evening is Marilyn Chow Bars, author of The Golden Essence Is You, a book channeled from the Archangels who have been communicating with her for over 25 years. However, prior to 2003, she was a well-known operatic soprano under her professional name, Marilyn Chow. She sang dramatic soprano roles for over 35 years all over the globe, on five of the seven continents, and in all of the major opera houses of the world. She began receiving and transmitting messages from the Archangels publicly in October 2008, and they began giving her the material for this book on December 23, 2009. She is a certified clinical hypnotherapist, specializing in past life regression therapy. She and her husband, Franz Bars, founded and are co-directors of Archangel Healing, and together they transmit healing energies and messages from the Archangels to their clients. The Golden Essence Is You invites you into the hearts and minds of the Archangels as they lead you through meditations and visualizations aimed at raising your level of vibration toward the fifth dimension and beyond, all the while giving you major new perspectives on what is and now time, among many other fascinating subjects. It's an exciting new look into the necessity of vibrating faster during the current turbulent state of the Earth and in the coming years leading up to the Ascension. All of the information contained within The Golden Essence Is You helps in guiding the reader toward a higher vibrational level of existence with the purpose of reaching the higher dimensions of advanced spiritual realms. Marilyn and Franz welcome all those who desire to connect to the Archangels to contact them at archangelhealing@gmail.com, and their website is archangel-healing.com. At the top of the show tonight, we're presenting the third segment of our series called High Strangeness with Anastasia, who's one of our Starseed Hotline team. She'll be telling her own story of contact with ETs and how she grew because of it. It's intended to help others deal with the confusion that can follow an encounter with high strangeness. We want to thank Sahar this evening for hosting the switchboard, and if you have questions for Marilyn, please call in on 917-889-8292 and then press 1 so we know you'd like to come on the air with your question. And if you like our show, remember to click follow on our show page and then tell a friend about us. For our new listeners, our main site is starseedhotline.com, where we have a lot of vital information for Starseed in our vault of knowledge. The entire site is coded for Starseed activation. We also have a support forum for Starseed at starseedhotline.ning.com. Plus, we're on iTunes if you'd like to download our shows to go. We'll get started with the third segment of High Strangeness in just a moment, and then we'll be introducing Marilyn. But first, I'd like to let you know that if you want to contact us privately, the toll-free number for our website is 888-881-0881. Our Stage 1 Starseed confirmations are based on Lavendar's discovery of star markings in your natal astrological chart. And the Stage 2 session is a one-on-one phone consultation. You can find out if you have star markings and how they determine your natural state and rites of passage. We now offer a Stage 4 support service with Sierra for contactees and abductees, so check out Sierra's World on our main site. And don't forget, if you have a birthday coming up, you should know when your 10 hours of power will occur by requesting your solar return timing at least a week beforehand, please. Your manifestational ability is amplified a thousandfold during those 10 hours, so do make the most of it. And now I would like to introduce my co-hosts, Lavendar and Sierra. Hello, ladies.
Lavendar, Sierra, are you there?
Yeah, you both said hello
sure
at the same
am.
Time.
Okay. Okay, and Anastasia is on our website, too, don't forget.
Yes, I said that.
Oh, you did. Okay.
Oh, did I? Well,
All right.
Maybe I didn't, but we did now.
Okay. So I'm really anxious to get our show started tonight. So let's go ahead and hear High Strangeness with Anastasia, and then we'll go then directly to Marilyn.
Okay. This is part three of High Strangeness with Anastasia.
So today, or tonight, we have Anastasia with us for the third segment of High Strangeness with Anastasia. Welcome, Anastasia.
Well, thank you, Lavendar. I'm really happy to be here tonight. I hope everyone's doing well. I know
everyone,
I'm doing great.
If they're listening to our show, they're on their way. It's called Circle Up and Get Ready for New and Exciting Things for the Planet. And so I'd like to refresh everyone's memory, in case they didn't get to hear your other two segments, that you were really basically raised at Mount Shasta. You had an experience when you were three that was just quite overwhelming. The veil went down at five, and then you started experiencing clairvoyance and a lot of things that other people couldn't imagine doing, like having X-ray vision and seeing people without their clothes. I know that we laughed about that. That's something that just happens to some of us starseed. It's an oops. So, and then you were bringing us into the 14 and 15, 16 area of when you started dating and having experiences with a man that didn't understand who you were. And that just kind of brings us up to date. So I understand that you'd like to maybe tell us a little bit about your experience, your high strangeness that brought you into what we call channeling.
I think I mentioned in the last program that I was trained through the technique taught by the Tibetan Foundation, which was founded in about 1982 by Janet McClure, who established channeling contact with the Ascended Master Dwal Kul. And previously, Dwal Kul had come through Helena Blavatsky as well as Alice Bailey. And Bailey called him the Tibetan. And so trained in that technique, which is a very effective technique for channeling, and I haven't really known of many channelers that have used that technique unless they've been trained specifically in it. But I was ready for it, and I took right off and became a deep trance channel, doing thousands of sessions for people all over the country. Did that for a number of years. And, of course, as you realize, that really accelerates growth and development and opens whole new insight into the other reality. And it involves a great deal of trust, of course, and a good disciplined approach to life. A person has to, by that time, pretty much know who they are. You have to have a strong sense of self to do that safely. And I never had bad experiences with it. They were always very, very good. I was able to see with my third eye and experience the energies of Edgar Casey and actually Elvis. You know, people might laugh at that, but that's the real thing. I mean, that's very authentic. And people say to me, well, how do you know a spirit? You know, their body is gone. How do you know who it is? And every soul, every entity has their own signature imprint, as you well know, Lavendar, and it's unmistakable. And it is clear evidence, as if you need any, that the spirit is really the person that you're communicating with, talking to, or the energy that you feel when you're around somebody has nothing to do with the body, but it is that person's soul. And when they leave the body, that they're the same person. Nothing changes. And so these energies are very, very distinct for each personality, and you know who you're dealing with. And, of course, I could see these beings as well. And this was like I said, a wonderful experience, and many wonderful things happened. But it was also my initiation into what I call the opposing forces. As one advances on the spiritual journey, we really aren't given more than we can handle, and if we are, they back it up pretty quick and give us a chance to adjust. And sometimes people go through shutdown for long periods of time because they've been overwhelmed. But generally speaking, we're given an opportunity to assimilate and then to move forward. And I really never got more than I could handle, fortunately. But in this process of learning and channeling and connecting and with the archangels and the various beings that are here to help humanity, I was aware of forces and the forces of light and the forces of darkness. That was a major stepping stone in my spiritual evolution. And through that, I have come to many, many realizations about how one tests the spirit, so to speak, or how one navigates safely through a universe that is full beyond measure of life forms, intelligences, beings that are many are eager to communicate but not worth your time to communicate with, and very, very valuable information, very necessary on the journey to enlightenment. And so when my clients come to me oftentimes with experiences, when we do spiritual coaching, things like that, one of my objectives is to try to help people understand where energies are coming, what their purpose is in our lives, to be open-minded and, to a certain extent, cautious, teach self-protection. I know there's many starseed or some that feel that protection isn't necessary since we are divine Christed beings within, but it has been my experience that we are beings rooted in duality, infinite consciousness, immortal intelligence, rooted in a physical body that is very limited. We are using brains that are limited, and when one approaches infinity, if you're not reverent and wise and cautious, there's just no telling what you'll come into. So these are the things that I learned at that stage of my life, and things that I use now in helping others as they try to navigate their way through, let's say, the unseen realms and experiences that people have with these entities and beings.
Yes, I noticed that the first names that you mentioned that were instrumental in your channeling, a lot of those beings, you know, go regularly to the Teton meetings in Wyoming. So a lot of our listeners that are familiar with those times at the Teton meetings in July and January. So that's all interconnected with you and them and us, and see how it all comes back around.
It really does.
And how it circles up.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it does. And there is a great brotherhood, a greater family, a group that is working with us all the time. It's just, I'll be joyful within my soul at the time when all of the veil is dropping and people can see things for what they are, when the deceptions are done away with. Because really, humankind is born into a situation where we really, it's intended to not give us a chance.
Right.
The way it's structured. And the oppression is so deep and so deeply rooted for so many thousands and thousands of years, perhaps more.
I'd like to say at this point that although you don't do astrological charts like Ariel and I do, but you track through voice print. Isn't that true? When you hear a person's voice, you just kind of go to their essence and just get their soul records.
Absolutely.
Is that true?
Absolutely. Yes, the universe is holographic. Any information can be accessed from a given point. And we are just antenna. You can just dial into any particular kind of energy if you know what you're looking for. I generally perform scans and use target points to do that. All information is accessible. You just have to know how to get to it.
Do you get into health issues when you talk to people? Can you scan their bodies?
Yes, I scan their bodies, but I don't give advice as to nutrition, or I'm not good like our Velva is. I give advice based on energy, what I think the energy needs, and where energetically things might be coming from.
Okay.
And then
how about their relationships?
That's one of the things I specialize in, and that comes very easily because I've just done so much of it and can cue into that so keenly. Relationships on a spiritual, emotional, psychological level, even physical. So that is that's probably one of my strong points. It's the thing that people struggle so often with, because in this dimension, particularly in this age in which we live, that's a big part of people's focus, looking for love, needing love, seeking intimacy with another being, and experiencing such huge frustration, because the problem isn't that some women love too much, or that some of those other cliches that we hear, but the problem is that as human beings, we've been shut out from understanding what love really is. And that's the reason so many relationships fail, because they're based in the ego. And so, not to mention karma, but essentially everyone is thrashing around inside seeking, largely without knowing it themselves, a loving.
Don't you think, though, that the starseed's DNA moves a little faster, and sometimes that we get impatient with our loved ones because they just can't travel as fast as we travel?
Well, there's no doubt about that.
I just feel like sometimes that I'm traveling so fast that I'm kind of isolated with my information because I have to wait until, you know, someone can catch up with where I've just come from. It can be lonely sometimes.
It's very lonely, and I tapped into something a few months back, a bit of esoteric information, and I have to paraphrase it for you, but it said something like this, that enlightenment is hard enough to get there. Once you get there to a certain tipping point, a person experiences extreme isolation, and it gets very, very difficult, almost to the point where a person can wish they weren't there, because it is so terribly lonely. But then the next step is the opening and the explosion in the great light. So then come the fireworks. When you get to the point where you're just feeling deeply isolated and you have no one to share with, that is where you're really getting close then to the goal. And it's true. It's absolutely true.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, you strive all your life to get to this place, and then when you get there, then you realize that you're there by yourself with it, and you can't really share it with anyone. And it's like, then you go, well, why did I ask for this?
Well, exactly. And, you know, I don't, look, this has been taught by masters in coded language since the beginning. And I'll just use Jesus as an example, where he taught us that straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leads to eternal life. Or we can swap that out for ascension, because that's what it is. And few there be that find it. And wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction or darkness, and many go in that road. Well, it's as plain as day. We have to find the truth, the light, and our own divine capacity. We become ascended one person at a time through our own heart chakras, which is the tiny, tiny gate that goes inside, and there's only room for one person to enter at a time. We can't do it as a group. We can help each other as a group, but what makes this such a painstaking process, and I might add a very critical one, and why many beings from many places are watching this planet, is that the individual, each one of us, carries the responsibility of the whole simply by our own evolutionary process. We have to do it one at a time. It is a very lonely path. And people that are wanting to find spirituality or ascension fast are in for a surprise. It doesn't happen like that. And so the deeper we get into the rabbit hole, oftentimes the more difficult it gets. But it's always a good sign, because it means you're headed in the right direction. And as you go through that tiny, tiny place, it's only room for you, it's very lonely, we come out on the other side into brilliant awareness. And you know, I'm here to tell you, that just a slight frequency beyond where we are now, right here on this planet, there's a perfect place. It's all perfect. We just have to turn the dial a little differently.
Right.
It's happening all around us.
That's right. And again, I'll say the definition of high strangeness to me is understanding is not a prerequisite for happening. And we are coming to the close of our third segment with Anastasia. So if those of you that have heard her today, you'd like to have a session with her, please call 888-881-0881 or go on our Starseed Hotline website and click on her picture and her name, and you can set up an appointment. So Anastasia, I'll say goodnight to you for now, and back to you, Arielle.
Well, thank you so much, Lavendar and Anastasia. Well, we have a very distinguished guest with us. She's already on the switchboard. So, Lavendar, would you like to introduce?
Okay. Marilyn, are you there?
Hang on. Let me turn on the microphone. Okay. Marilyn Chow, you are on the air. Welcome. So welcome.
Oh, hi.
Hello.
Hi. I'm trying to get my husband to turn the volume down on the computer.
he needs to.
We've got it. Yeah.
In the same room, or we'll get an echo.
No, it's okay. I think he's got his earphones in.
Okay, good.
Yeah, there's a little time lag between the radio and the phone.
Oh, right. I can't hear it anymore, so it's fine.
Okay, great.
Okay, great.
So, hi.
Well, you know what, Marilyn? I was looking earlier back a year ago, and it was about this week a year ago that you and I had a session.
Yeah.
And I know that you were working on the book, and I said, well, when you get the book done, let me know because we want to have you on our show. And a year later, here you are.
Yeah, it's really wonderful, isn't it? Finally, it finally became published.
I know. It's a beautiful book. I'm glad that you sent it to me. I have not finished it, but I do read on it quite often. But I would like to start maybe at the beginning of first when you were first born and growing up as a young child. Did you have moments and flashes of intuitive insight? Because I never really talked to you about your early childhood. I talked to you later about your adult life. But how about your childhood? What were you like as a child?
Well, I think probably very happy. I sang at a very young age. I learned a song from the radio when I was 2 years old that I sang completely. I knew all the words and all the notes, and I used to sing it. I don't know. I mean, it's been a long time since I was a child, so it's a little hard to remember back now, but I don't recall anything out of the ordinary. I was in a very, very ordinary family. My father was a florist. My mother came from the Deep South, from Rome, Georgia, and very, very immersed in the teachings of the Bible, and impressed that upon me and my sister and brother, and we were taken to Sunday school and church, etc. And I always didn't like it. I mean, I enjoyed Sunday school, but not being forced to be there in the actual sanctuary and listening to sermons. I can remember from a young age knowing that that was not what I was supposed to be hearing. I knew that that was just not something I wanted to hear, and I hope that doesn't sound blasphemous to a number of people listening, but it was just something that didn't appeal to me, never appealed to me, organized religion.
Well, it's not blasphemous for this group, let me tell you. We have a pretty... pretty awake starseed group, and
mm-hmm.
a lot of us went through that religious rhetoric of mm-hmm. the Deep South, so we know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Well, you were a real famous opera singer for, what, 35 years?
Oh, yeah, a little bit more than that, just under 40 years.
Under 40 years,
uh-huh.
And but tell us a little, I know you went on a quest starting about September 8th of 83,
yeah, that's when I woke up.
20 years. So I'll mm-hmm. just let you tell us in your own words how that started and what led you to Montana.
Yeah, I had gotten in May of 1983, I had a singing job up in Canada, and I met a really terrific guy, I thought, at the time there, and we made plans to travel to Europe in the summer, and we did that. He met me in Spain. I was singing with Plácido Domingo in I think it was Madrid, if I'm not mistaken. It was either Madrid. I think it was Madrid. Yeah, we were in Madrid. And then after that, we planned to go to England and travel around, which we did. And everything was going really, really well, super well, until about, I would say, 3 weeks before he finally decided to go back to Canada. He started having episodes of becoming suddenly extremely angry and shouting and yelling at me for something I said that I had no idea how I could possibly have offended him with a simple remark, and all of a sudden he'd be yelling. And then that happened about three times, and then finally he said, you know, I think it might be better if I go home. So he left, and I was very, very upset, and I called my voice teacher, John Lester, who lived in Missoula, Montana, and asked if I could come visit. And he said, of course, you know, you're always welcome. So I got on the plane and went to Missoula. And John's daughter, Joanna, has always been a very forward-thinking, metaphysically oriented spiritual person, studied with the Maharishi, went that direction. But she had some tapes there by a trans-channeler named Ron Scholastico, Dr. Scholastico, the transpersonal psychologist. And he had these beautifully channeled tapes from beings he calls the guides. And the guides were so wonderful. And I sat there on the floor listening and weeping. And I said to Joanna, where is this man? I need to meet him. And she said, he'll be in New York when you get back home. And I made an appointment for September 8th, 1983. And that was the day that I first discovered unconditional love, because I felt it coming through him from these beings on the other side. And I asked the question of them why this friend of mine had been so angry so often and was yelling at me. And they said that he knew that if he opened his heart completely and allowed me to be inside his heart, that there would arise the danger of my leaving him at some point, and he was too afraid, and he put the anger between us to keep me from getting inside his heart. And the minute I heard that, I knew it was the truth. I knew that that could be the only reason that he would have yelled at me. And so I went on from there, and I accepted it, and it was fine. I spoke with him maybe one or two times after that on the telephone, but it was definitely over. And he had behaved, he had not behaved. He was the catalyst for the change that I needed. I knew that he had come in to my life simply for me to become awakened and for me to go in a different direction in some ways. I continued with my singing, of course, because that was my livelihood. But I started meditating. I began reading books. I went to the Findhorn Foundation. I studied various healing methods with many very famous teachers over the years. And I just kept on with my development. And that was actually the beginning of it. And somewhere in there, and I didn't write down the exact date, but somewhere in there I began in the meditations seeing visions and perceiving what seemed to be angelic beings and hearing thoughts in my head that were not mine, that I assumed came from these beings that I saw. And I wrote them down, and gradually, they began to ask me to speak. And that was a little frightening. But I got my tape recorder out and stuck a tape in one day and just started saying whatever it was that I heard, and gradually it became easier and easier until the book material came along. So that's actually it in a kind of big nutshell.
Well, I'd also like to hear a little bit about your trip to Findhorn Gardens. And for some of our listeners that don't know what Findhorn Gardens are, would you just give a brief description of them and how you went there and had the experiences that you had?
Oh, yeah. Findhorn is a terrific place in the north of Scotland, near Inverness, not too far from Inverness. The stop on the road there is Forres, F-O-R-R-E-S, Forres, Scotland. And the Findhorn community is built around this area. It started, I can't remember the year now, I'm sorry, I would have to look on their website to take a look at when three people, good friends, a married couple and a very good friend of theirs, Dorothy, whose last name escapes me at the moment, and a couple of children of the married couple, Peter and Eileen Caddy, decided to, they had been working, I believe, in a hotel nearby, and for some reason that didn't work out, and they had to move into a caravan, which is what we call a trailer, and they chose, for some reason, this place, not far from the hotel, I believe, and started a community there, and they got instructions. Dorothy was the go-between between the plant kingdom and the humans, and she would get messages about how to create whatever they needed to plant a garden so they'd have food to eat. And so Dorothy gave Peter the information. Peter was the muscle man. And Eileen talked to God. Eileen received messages from what we all know as God, one of the creator gods. And so they began this community that is in the Findhorn region, so they just called it the Findhorn community. Gradually it grew, more and more people heard about it. They were growing huge plants and gigantic flowers, 8-foot, 9-foot tall foxglove plants. And things like that. I mean, it just became really, really well known. And now it is a full-time a community of beings who enjoy living together, working together, creating together. They teach now. They have you have the opportunity of going there, as I did in 1984. And you go for 1 week for what is called Experience Week, where you experience the community and work. It's a live-work type place. Everybody works for spirit, and everybody meditates together in particular meditation rooms that they've created, and they have a universal hall for entertainment and meetings. It's a really wonderful place to be if you want to open up more to your spiritual side, and it's a good starting place, I would say, for anyone. And then the week after I did the Experience Week, I stayed on for the Week of the Arts, where they had a lot of performers performing and things like that. But as far as I know, it's still open for people to come and live work there and live in the community. And you do your work. You either work in the garden, you work in the publications office, you work in the kitchen, you work cooking, you work cleaning, you work outside or inside. It's a fascinating place, really fascinating. I enjoyed
it. Did you
have
a lot of channeling experiences there?
Channeling? No. No, there was nothing there that was going on at that time and that I knew of involving channeling. I did a workshop with Eileen about love. I did another one. It was just really an opportunity for working with spiritual people who talk to the plants, talk to the birds, talk to the insects, give a part of the garden away for the birds to peck away at and say, okay, birds, you leave us alone in this section because we need this for our food. And the birds would not go in the section that the humans needed for their food. It was amazing. The birds would only use the section that was allocated for the birds. And the insects wouldn't bother the plants, and everything was perfect. It's really the most beautiful example that I had ever seen of interactions amongst all of the creatures, put it that way, between humans and insects, animals, divas, everything that was visible or invisible that could work together to produce an effect that was spiritually inspiring.
So as you were having these metaphysical experiences in reading and studying these 20 years,
mm-hmm.
was it that actually grabbed a hold of you and said you're going to do this book called The Golden Essence Is You?
Well, after I found out who it was actually speaking to me, in 2003 I had had a session with Steve Rother, who also is a channel. Channels a group of beings called that he calls The Group, and has written two very beautiful books, one of which is called Remember, very inspiring. And I had a private session over the phone with Steve, and earlier in the month of July, I had been to Mount Shasta for a hypnotherapy retreat, and the Archangel, well, I call her the Archangel, Mother Mary had contacted me during a hypnotic session and spoke with me at great length for about 25 minutes, and none of which was written down and none of which I remember. But at the time, I thought it was pretty spectacular. And then I heard that she often visits people when they're in Mount Shasta. And so she had already contacted me, and then later I found out that she works together with Archangel Raphael in the healing realm. And then a week approximately after I had the session with Steve Rother, I sat down. I was urged to go to the computer by something, sat down, opened up a simple text file, and put my fingers on the keys, and I touched type. So I just waited, and I heard, I believe what it said was something to the effect of greetings, we are the archangels. And they went on from there. They had announced who they were, and they asked me to form a healing practice and call it Archangel Healing. And I didn't know my husband Franz at that time. I was alone. I was living alone in 2003. I met him the following year. And it just went from there, and I got messages just about every day, and these were very easy because I could hear them in my head and typed it up and printed them out. until they started asking me to speak, and I was a little afraid of that. And as it turned out, after I did a lot of hypnotic journeys to clear past lives, memories of being murdered or killed or burned at the stake or whatever horrible death you can think of for being a healer, I had to clear all of that out before I could actually do it for myself. I had cards made up and couldn't leave the house with them in my hand. It was impossible. So I did a lot of clearing work through hypnosis, and then it became easier to say, I am a healer. It was hard in the beginning.
Yes, I know how that is. In this book, one of the most interesting chapters talks about the cord cutting process. Can you walk us through what that is?
Oh, my goodness. That is something that is very, very complex, and I really would recommend that people who are interested in that get the book, because it is so complex. But one of the things I can tell you is that it involves this new method. I don't even have it open here in the book. Hold on. I'm looking for it. This so-called new method of doing the cord cutting process. The first thing they said to us is the intention to remove the cords must be in place. So the first thing you must do when you sit down to do the cord cutting is to intend to cut them. Then the second thing is you must desire to stop connections on levels which are draining you. So you need to pick a person who you feel is particularly draining for you as someone that you would like to cut the cords with. So here we have you express the desire out loud. I have found it's better to do all of these things out loud, to cut the cording, returning the energies of the other person to them and pull back into yourself your energies. This is number two. Sit in a quiet place where you're not disturbed. Three, visualize the other person, see them standing before you now. So you close your eyes and see this person, whoever that might be, that you want to be separated from. You speak to them to ask permission to release the cords. If they say no, oftentimes people do not want to be separated from you on that level. Here's the important thing. If you get a no from them, the archangels say you go to your higher self, and you ask your higher self to contact the higher self of the other person to receive permission to cut the cords. And almost always the higher self will say yes. And when you have received permission from the higher self, you convey this to the other person, and you say, I have received permission from your higher self to sever these cords. And the archangels say they must agree if their higher self has agreed. So then you take, it's the regular cord cutting process from that point on. You take your hand, imagine that you've got a golden scissors or a golden knife, very sharp knife in your hand, and you cut the cords very quickly and say, I now release your energies back to you, and I bring my own energy back to myself. I wish you well, and I send you light, love, and peace. You see your cut cord in front of you, and you pull all of the energy back into yourself, and you can see it coming out of the other person. And you wait until you see it all back inside yourself. Then you pull that cord out of your body and dispose of it in a downward motion, because the origin of a cord from someone else still contains a small particle of their energy, and you don't want to bring that energy into your body. You have to dispose of the cord. So you pull it out and give it to the earth. And in the case of a cord or cords that you have put into someone else, you follow all the procedures I just described until step six, and at that point you reach out and pull your cord away from the other person. This is without cutting. Pull it away, allowing the energy to exit the cord as you pull it closer to yourself. So you allow their energy to release back into them, give the intention for that. And you wait until all of their energy is out of your cord, and then you reach up and pull that cord out of yourself. So you've got a complete cord with roots at both ends, and you wrap that up in a golden ball and give it to Mother Earth. And then here's a nota bene. The process of cord removing and cord cutting is extremely important for the ascension. For if you do not release all the cords and call all your own energy back into you, it will not be possible for you to ascend. The cord cutting process should be undertaken in now time, not in the past. For instance, if you're cutting cords with a being not currently in human form upon the earth, you say, I call upon my higher self, I call upon my guides, I call upon the archangels now to bring before me any known or unknown beings with whom I have cords from other lifetimes, and we will cut the cords together. I ask you to help me because it is something that is kept hidden because of the veil. And so I need your help, all of you, in order to cut the cords with individuals with whom I have cording, but whom I do not know consciously in this lifetime. And then you will receive the help. And so that's it, basically, very quickly. I know it's almost impossible to absorb any of that information completely when you just hear it read to you so quickly, but that's the process. And I found the most interesting thing to be the contact with the higher selves.
I got it all. I was tracking it the whole time.
You got it.
It was like, oh, I love that. Ariel, did you hear that?
I sure did.
Did you get it? She read it fast, and it was good, huh?
Oh yeah. I mean, I was right there. It seems like the steps are in the proper order. And I love the part about it. If the person tells you no, you just go over their head, basically.
You go over their head, and you
get
permission from their interface between them and their soul, of course.
Yeah.
The higher self has the ability to override the ego.
Yeah. And when you think about all these people that are walking around on the planet, and if you look at their etheric bodies, there's all these cords, they're ganglias, and they're just hanging out there,
yep.
And you're just going all over the place. And
exactly.
A person's trying to walk down the street, and you wonder how they can walk straight because of all the cords they're attached to. I mean,
exactly.
I've seen that. And it's like, wow, this is a great way of disposing. I mean, that's a great system.
It's really terrific. And I want to tell you just briefly, my husband has just left the room, but he actually quit smoking doing this when he finally realized he couldn't quit. He tried everything. He finally realized he needed to go back into his friendships and acquaintances and find all the people that he knew and had known who were heavy smokers and particularly cut the cords with those guys. And once he had finished all of them, he quit smoking, and he hasn't smoked since.
Wow, boy.
Because they were putting into him
about the programming of the cords.
They were putting energy into him. Smoke, 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 smoke. Smoke with me. We'll smoke together.
Yeah, and the astrals in the other dimensions that haven't gone on that died of lung cancer, I'm sure.
Oh, of course, of course, of course. Any of those.
Yeah.
And all of that. You know?
Also, I noticed that you have a chapter in here called The Heart That Remembers. And can you expand a little bit about how you feel about the heart and how different you think it is than the brain?
Oh, yeah. Hold on. Which chapter is that?
My book just shut. Just a second. I had it open when I asked you the question.
Hold on, I'm looking really quickly through the chapters. I'm trying to find that because I don't remember. Oh, the being of light in the heart?
Yes, that one.
Chapter 18?
Yes.
The being of light in the heart is the visualization that they gave us for finding your higher self, that your higher self resides within your heart. And that is where you go to find and make the connection, if you have not already made the connection with your higher self, that you go into your heart and you look for a being of gold, because the golden color is the most important signal that you have reached the really high spiritual levels until you get to the white light, of course. But the golden light comes through this book all throughout. There is something called the bubble of golden light, which is a protective thing. There's the cleansing celestial light shower, which is golden light. There is this, the field of golden essence from chapter 16 is where I got the title of the book. They told me that they wanted me to choose the title, so I took it from chapter 16, the field of golden essence, which is a fifth dimensional visualization. But this being of light in the heart, the heart has a brain that is much superior to our physical brain.
Yeah,
and
that's
so
the heart right there. The heart has a brain. Yeah.
Exactly. The brain of the heart is a feeling brain. And the brain, if I'm recalling this correctly, the brain itself, the brain in the head, is a cold calculating instrument. It does not feel. You feel and make decisions about things that need feeling. To to help you choose the right way or the way that you want to go by connecting to the brain of the heart. And also another thing, this reminds me of a channeling that we've had within the last 2 months where the archangels told us, and they didn't tell us when I was channeling this material for the book, but they told us this year that every time you read the book, if you read things in here more than once or you read a chapter more than once, there is an encoded message in the words that goes straight to your heart and bypasses the brain. And every time you read it.
Well, you know, book, and I'd like to read this. It's from them. "We will give you the information which you can put into this book for others to read, information which carry an energetic print, a blueprint of our energies, so that not only the reading of the book will be beneficial, but holding the book will be beneficial because the energies contained within the book from us that will emanate through the words on the pages. We will make sure that when the pages are printed, that our energies are flowing into the paper, into the ink, into the words themselves, so that they will be able to be felt by all who hold the book in their hands and who read the material, information from us, information from the entire angelic realm, information from the goddess, and information from the creator of all there is."
Yes, that was the thing that they gave us when they were channeling the material. But this year, they said, every time you read the material, there is a different message that goes straight to your heart. So I've read this book probably over 40 times in the proofreading and the editing and the going back and going through and going over and over and over to make corrections. And every time I read it, I went, oh, that's really good. I didn't remember having read it. So I was getting, every time, I didn't know it, but I was getting a different message every time I read it. So that every time you read something in this book, if you read it more than once, you second time around, you'll get a different message. Third time, you'll get a different message. Everything is in there, and they are putting different things into it. Every time your eyes read it, it doesn't go through the brain of your head. It goes into your heart immediately.
And it says here, the heart does not forget.
That's right.
I'm on page 114, and it really does explain how people will lead with their heart and then later cancel their life with their brain.
Yes, I have done that all my life. All my life I have had intuitive hits. This is something that I remember from childhood. All my life I've had intuitive hits from my guides, who I'm imagining are from the angelic realm, from the archangelic realm, of what I, the best course of action. And my brain would always say, oh, I don't know, I don't think that's the best way. I'm going to go this way. And every time my brain made the decision, it was wrong. The other suggestion inside my head, which came from the heart, of course, was the one that I should have followed if I want to place should and back into my vocabulary. I've kind of eliminated the word should because I think it's useless. But the intuitive hits I had all throughout childhood. I do remember that. I remember that. And ignoring them.
Right. There. I'd like to read this one paragraph. "The heart is the center of your deepest feelings. Oh, we know that your emotional center is your third chakra, but we say to you, the emotions that reside in the third chakra are not the same as the emotions of the heart."
Yeah.
"The heart are all of the positive nature, whereas those emotions in the solar plexus chakra can be more of a negative nature, although the positive emotions may also be felt there. It is not that you do not feel positive emotions in the third chakra, but that you do not feel negative emotions in the heart, and that's the important difference."
Yes, absolutely. That's really, really wonderful, and I'm glad you picked that out. I'm glad you read that, because that was not one of the things that I had chosen to read. If people wanted to, there is also, wanted to hear something from the book, there is this visualization of the field of golden essence, which is a fifth dimensional visualization, if you'd like to hear that. It's not terribly long.
Let's hear that one.
"The field of golden essence. We ask you now to close your eyes for a few moments and to imagine and see in your mind's eye fields of golden essence, and imagine yourself walking forward, or flying if you prefer, into this field of golden essence. It is as if you are standing upon the earth in a great, endless field of wheat, very large growing wheat, waving gently in the breeze. But where we are asking you to walk or float is in a field similar to the wheat of golden light and essence of love, with the sweetest perfume. And everywhere you move, the fragrance becomes something new and more wonderful. And as you move through and around and within the golden essence, you feel within your hearts the most beautiful feelings of peace, of unending love and beauty. Beauty that you have not known upon the earth. For this is a part of home, this field of golden essence. And within and around this field are trees whose leaves move with the breeze and who emanate their own perfumes, which mix with the perfumes of the golden essence. And they give off a tinkling sound of bells, much more beautiful than the sound of any bell you have ever heard. And you are in awe of the beauty that you see and sense all around you. And you feel light, lighter than a feather, lighter than air, lighter than sunlight. And you are transported and lifted simply by your thoughts. If you wish to float, you float. If you wish to fly, you fly. If you wish to simply be in the center of the field of golden essence, you are. If you wish to become one with the field of golden essence, you become one with it, with the light, with the perfume, with the feelings of oneness, oneness with the golden essence, oneness with all there is. For in this moment of your existence, you are golden, you are light, you are love, you are all there is. Remember this feeling of floating or flying or being, whatever it is that you have chosen to feel, and know that it is always your choice to be wherever it is that you wish to be in the creation of all there is. You may come here to this field of golden essence as often as you like, and remember always that the golden essence is you. Remember. Remember. Remember the truth of who you truly are. Keep your vision in the forefront of your mind, of yourself as the golden essence of all there is, and know that this is always available to you. And most especially remember that when you are at a level where you can experience the field of golden essence, you are in the fifth dimension and beyond. And so we would recommend that you use this simple visualization energy exercise as often as you like, in addition to the meditation we have given you in the beginning, the journey to the sea of love and light. Know that you are deeply loved at all times by not only us, but by all creation, and most especially by the Creator itself, for you come from the Creator, and to the Creator you will return. And that's it.
Wow. Whoa. When you put all my kitties in the room to sleep, they were around, and all of a sudden you start speaking, and they just drop to the floor.
Oh, nice.
I love that.
Isn't it wonderful? I haven't recorded this yet, but I have. I do want to do that this year. We have recorded only one CD, which is the first meditation in the book called The Journey to the Sea of Love and Light. And it's about 45 minutes long altogether. and is also a fifth dimensional visualization of traveling to the creator light and simply lying there and floating in the sea of love that is the creator essence.
Well, you should do an audio book.
I am going to, but that's going to be a long process because the book itself has so many chapters, and that's something that is a project for possibly this year. I put off doing it last year because we just didn't have the funding for it, but now I've got a little bit more cash in hand than I had before the past month where I sold some things that were rather valuable. So I've got the money now to do that, and we're going to do a golden CD where we put in it the field of golden essence, the bubble of golden light, the golden celestial cleansing light shower, and anything else that I find in here that relates to being golden or using the golden light. Perhaps even the cord cutting process would be handy for that CD.
You know, I live here in Oklahoma, Maryland.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
When you said the wavy wheat, of course, that's where here. And when the wind blows, the wheat, of course, waves that way.
Yeah.
And I could easily visualize it first being wheat, and then all the wheat stems, they start sparkling like gold glitter.
Yeah, yeah.
And
that's wonderful.
And then I just took off.
It's a great meditation. It's just, you know, when this material was coming through, it was amazing for us, for my husband and me. It was just like, you know, you asked me earlier how it started. It just started one day. I had a suggestion from a guy whose seminars we were appearing at, James Tiburon, Earthkeeper, earthkeeper.com, and he had suggested I write a book. And I said, oh, you've got to be kidding me. I'm not writing a book. Well, about a month or two after he said that, the archangels all of a sudden in one of our sessions said, we think it might be a good idea for us to write a book. So let's begin. And they gave us the meditation, the field, going to the creator, to the light, the sea of love and light. And that was the first one. And then the second session was a couple of days later, and it just went on like that, two or three sessions a week. I found that I never have been very comfortable doing it every day, that I sometimes have to lie down and take a nap after I've been channeling. And so I need to get my energy built up again in the in-between days. So the channeling of the material for the book went from the end of December 2009 through May of 2010. The 33 or 34 chapters came over that long period of time. There were more chapters. There were more. I mean, there was more information that we received, but it was all for us privately, so that didn't go into the book. Only the material that I felt everyone might benefit from hearing.
Right. I know one of the chapters that I really liked was called, and this is on page 207 if you have your book, it's called Agreements Made Before the Beginning.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's really, really interesting. I think it's all fascinating, but, you know, there are some chapters that will resonate with some people more than other chapters, and there are... let me see, which chapter number is that? Oh, yeah, here it is, chapter 27. Yeah, well, remember, they said here that we wish you to understand more than any other concept we may have presented to you within the form of this book. You are and always will be. That's a nice sentence. You are energy and always will be. You are love and always will be love. And that's so wonderful to hear that and to see that in print. And, you know, and here they go on to talk about the experiences that are negative, experiences that you may have where there's a total lack of love, which all of us probably have experienced at some point. Or you may not even know what love is. It's all a part of the agreements that you make with your soul. And so there's, it talks about the points of light within each one of us. And since then, I'll tell you, they have told us that we all glow. And because of the veil, we don't see everyone else glowing, that every cell in our bodies has a point of light within it. All of our skin cells have light in them, and we glow in the dark.
Right, and that's also true when we have those Teton meetings inside in Wyoming at the Tetons. that light, that glow, is what everyone sees when they get there. They see everybody else's light.
That's what's nice. You know, and I never saw it that way. I thought that when people, until they told me that, I thought that when people talked about seeing other people's light, that they meant, you know, they looked cheerful and happy and their faces were bright and shining and they looked like, you know, they were lit from inside. I never thought literally about the skin cells having light in them and glowing like a flashlight. Each cell glows. So that was a big eye-opener for me. But this whole journey has been a big eye-opener. There's just so much in this book that is, for me, miraculous in a way.
Yeah. I'd like to share with you, Marilyn, and our listeners, and I told Ariel that I would briefly talk about it today, and that is that we have coming up March 20th, which is the equinox. And from all the information that I've been given about the timing of the evolution of the people and the planet, mm-hmm. there's going to be so many celestial beings in our area on this planet that are uplifting the bloodlines. Simultaneously, sometimes they'll run an experiment, say from Atlantis, or later they'll run one from Jesus and Mary Magdalene, or maybe later they'll do a scene in the 96. But as of this March 20th, they're going to turn all the universal codes on at once and all the bloodlines.
Oh my God.
It's going to be a gigantic upliftment of star seeds on the planet everywhere.
Wow, I get cold chills.
So I just wanted to give a heads up that all the nanotechnology that's been placed in bloodlines and been tracked by our ET brothers and sisters and by all the angelic realms goes to another height of you might say intervention. It is kind of an intervention because this is kind of the silent bloodlines that have been just going along in their everyday lives, and all of a sudden they're turned on, mm-hmm. and they start moving a lot quicker in consciousness. This is about consciousness and the lifting of veils off of a lot of people's energy patterns.
Oh, that's terrific. That's really terrific. I'm very happy to hear that.
So I've been receiving this information now for several days, and I was going to wait till next week, the day before, or the day of, if it's happening, but I thought, well, maybe I better give everybody a heads up that it's coming.
Yeah, just in case they hadn't planned to do anything that day.
Well, and nobody really knows what this will be in manifestation, but I can only think that if it's a step up, it's got to be, you know, if you're going forward and you're in a creative space, why not?
Why not? Yeah, it's got to be some kind of a jolt in some way, either physically, mentally, spiritually, or whatever, that people are going to feel something happening to them, feel something different.
And I think, you know, that the bloodlines on the planet have all been timed to certain astrological events, but that equinox and the solstice, they use those four times a year.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a center point that matches to 26 Sag Galactic Center.
Oh, yeah, you mean like my midheaven?
Yeah. The highest point in your chart is Galactic Center.
26
okay,
Sag,
you can't wear the golden essence hat, all right?
Yeah.
So, okay, Ariel, I'll turn this back over to you and Sierra, and I've just loved this so much, Marilyn, and I'll come back a little later. I'm turning it over to Ariel.
Well, I've been sitting here debating on whether or not I should ask you this, but I can't help myself.
Okay.
I don't know if it's appropriate or not, but as a kind of a kindred spirit, at least as far as singing is concerned, I am wondering if there was ever an overlap, if you were ever standing on the stage and felt an energy come through your voice that you knew was not your own, but it was still your voice, but you just know that you are in some kind of zone that is not commonplace. Did that ever happen to you?
That only happened once when I requested it. I've never been invaded, let's put it that way, by any other energy singing through me that I know of. But I was doing a performance in Chicago of the opera Elektra by Richard Strauss. And I had about 5 minutes at the beginning of the opera where I'm just sitting there and other women are around me singing. And so I asked Elektra, the spirit of Elektra, because she actually was a person and existed, to come into me and allow me to feel her emotions. And I had planned to do the entire performance as Elektra. And I all of a sudden I had this wash of emotional despair come into me to the point where I could not have sung a note. I could not have uttered a sound because she was so desperately despairing and sad beyond belief. And it was horrendous. I thought, how can anyone feel that way all the time? Because she did. And I said, thank you, quietly, silently. Thank you. Please pull back now, because I need to sing, and I can't sing with these emotions. There is a certain, I had to not allow my emotions to overtake me when I was performing because of the effect upon my larynx, and this is in some ways astrological. I have an astrological configuration in my birth chart that impinges upon my Mercury, that comes from the fifth house of performing in public, and it's Pluto. Pluto is in opposition to my Mercury, and occasionally it will completely cut my voice off. If I become overly emotional, I cannot speak. If I become so angry that I'm on the verge of tears, I can't speak. I cannot speak. And it has happened to me a couple of times in public on stage that I've completely lost my voice for a few minutes.
Wow.
And just had to recover. So I cannot still allow too much emotion into my performing. It has to come a little bit more from my head than from my heart, because if it comes too much from my heart, my voice vanishes.
That is just almost the antithesis of what I've experienced. But
yeah,
course,
you
I
have emotions.
Your...
Yeah, you can sing with emotions, right?
Yeah, but I mean, I was never at your level. However, like I said, remember if I emailed you,
yeah.
It was a totally different arena.
Mm-hmm.
But I would sometimes just feel an uplifting and an inspiration that would just kind of transport me into a realm of I can sing anything.
I have felt that. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you. I have felt that in the final scene from Wagner's Ring in the opera Götterdämmerung, where I felt completely, really on a higher plane. But it wasn't an emotional something that had to come through my throat. It was a complete feeling in my entire being, in my auric field and in my physical body, that what I was singing came from a higher place and was coming through me from that higher place. I have felt that.
Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't that emotional interpretation of someone's horror, fear, anger, joy, whatever. The positive emotions are easier to deal with than the negative ones were. I did a number of operas where people were in negative places, like Elektra, and those were the ones that gave me the most trouble vocally, the negative emotions.
Yeah.
Positive ones are easier to portray. Those I could do.
Yeah. And I was only thinking about the positive, the rush of
yeah.
just you know
feeling good
and
yeah.
joy and feeling good and
yeah.
just soaring. And
mm-hmm.
yeah, and I do know. I mean, if you want to cry, you cannot sing. Your voice just like curls up and
yeah.
shrivels up and
it dies.
Yeah, it gets real high and squeaky, and then it goes away.
Yeah, exactly.
But you know, there's a place of transcendence.
Mm-hmm.
through the human voice, and it is angelic, and with your connection with the archangels, and the divinity of music, and the then the energy of the human voice, especially more than one voice, you know,
yeah,
in harmony.
Yeah,
it has transcendent ability.
Yeah, that's true. There is a wonderful scene in, let me think, which Verdi opera is it? I believe it's La Forza del Destino, where the soprano sings this wonderful, wonderful line called La Vergine degli Angeli, where she's singing about the Virgin and the angels. And it's high and floating and lovely. And below that is practically a chorus of the deepest bass voices that you have ever heard, monks singing down low. It's absolutely amazing and transcendent, and that is a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful scene, and I have sung that, and I did feel the transcendence then. Also, even though I wasn't awake in those days and I wasn't doing anything spiritually, it's been quite a long time since I did that in France, that opera, Fortune del Destino. But that scene, yes, when you can sing something that is already written from a place of transcendence. I mean, I'm sure that Verdi and Wagner and all of the composers who wrote these wonderful, wonderful, wonderful sections of music, I don't say everything that they wrote was from this place, but a majority of the music that they wrote came from a place of godlike splendor, I think you could say, that they were channeling. The music of the spheres, the music of the creator, the music of the angels. And they wrote music for people to sing that was of the same level. And if you're tuned in and you can sing that, it's miraculous, really.
Right. I mean, and you're right. There is not, there's, it's like fleeting glimpses because, much to my dismay, you can't sustain that for, you know, half an hour, an hour, but I'll tell you what, when it passes by,
it's very nice.
Yeah, it makes your whole night.
Yeah, it's really nice. Yeah,
and for the audience as well, because even if they're not awake,
yeah,
that doesn't matter. Even that you say you weren't awake at that time,
no,
it doesn't matter. It's still.
I was awake enough to know that that music was very spiritual and very angelic. I did know that. I didn't know who I was in the scheme of the universe, put it that way. That's what I mean by awake. But I was awake enough that I was aware of the angelic quality of the music that Verdi had written.
Well, music is such a universal language, even if you don't, understand the language of the opera.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The emotion and the point is unmistakable.
Yeah.
So,
just listen to the music. You don't always need the words.
Right. I mean, even music where no one's singing. I mean, I love classical music.
Oh, yeah, me too.
Yeah. Well, I don't want to monopolize your time here, and we'll turn this over to Sierra, or I believe we have another Starseed team member, Rose, who had a question for you as well. Rose, if you're listening, go ahead and hit one. So I don't want to bring you on if you're shy about it. So, Sierra, are you with us?
Absolutely. My goodness, Marilyn, it's just absolutely a pleasure to be in your presence during this show.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. It's very sweet.
It's, there's so many resources out there. So many books that people write and so many different ways to cut chords or visualize. And I would just have been captured by your presence and the energy that you bring to that. And I just can't begin to thank you enough, especially for the cord cutting. I, along with Ariel and Lavendar, followed the entire thing as if I was participating as you were reading the portion of the book. And I just thank you so much for doing that. It's just perfect timing.
Oh, great. I'm glad
for
to
myself.
Hear that.
to be able to utilize that tool. So thank you. And just every aspect of even the visualization and the golden light.
Mm-hmm.
I am a huge collector of crystals and minerals, and I just recently joined the Verde Valley Mineral and Gem Club, and I went to my first meeting last week, and there was they had a silent auction, and there was a trillion cut 30 carat citrine gem. And I didn't have hardly any money, and I just threw my money at it, and I ended up with it, and I'm sitting here holding it. I'm holding it in my hand as I'm speaking to you, and we went through the visualization, and it's just burning hot, and oh, it's just a wonderful, wonderful thing to have shared this time with you, and thank you so much for coming on for our Starseed. And I did not have your book, but I had fully intending on getting it, because out of all the literature that I've gotten heard of and all the people I've come across, this resonates
the
strongest. So,
I'm so glad to hear that.
Again, thank you so much, and thank you for
Super.
That gift. You really, truly did help
great.
Me accelerate. So,
is this the point where you would like for me to tell people we have a special on the website for the book and the CD for $25.55 or something like that?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah, and I'll sign
Please
it.
Please do.
That's where I sign them personally if you order it through our website. We've got the book, I think, for $15.55, which is about 4 cents cheaper than Amazon. And the CD is, I believe, I'm not sure. I'm not going to quote a price about the CD because it was changed recently. So I'm not going to say. But if you go to the shop on the website, archangel-healing.com, just go in there and look at the shop. And we have a Year of the Dragon with a cute little red dragon in the box of the special for the two of them, and I'll sign the copy. And it, I believe, is for both of them together, $25.55, if I'm not mistaken. Forgive me if I've got the numbers wrong.
Well, thanks again. I just really so appreciate it.
Thank you.
You just have captured me, and I am so happy to be reunited with my soul sister over the airwaves. So thank you for being here.
It's my pleasure. I'm glad to be reunited with you, all of you, really. It's wonderful, wonderful to be in contact.
Thank you. Back to you, Ariel.
Okay. Well, we do have a lot of people on the switchboard, and if you want to come on the air, you have to press 1 so that we know. And questions for Marilyn. So while we're waiting for people to
press
get that
1
together. yeah, you have to press, we have to press 1, otherwise we can't distinguish you from those who are just listening.
Now,
so,
Joseph, I know you're listening, and you do opera, so please call in.
I don't see Joseph's number right here. Well, we do have a question from our dear sister, Belva. So let's just bring that mic online. Hello, Belva.
Hi, welcome. How are you? What a wonderful show.
Well, thank you. Thank you.
I enjoyed every minute.
Oh, goody.
I had a lot of recall when I was like 4, 5, and 6 of classical music, and I played without knowing. Well, I didn't even have a piano, and they had me on the stage playing just from recall. It was an amazing time in my life, so I can understand how music comes in and becomes your life without any reason.
Oh, yeah.
Rhyme or
right.
reason.
Yeah, it does.
It was wonderful, absolutely wonderful.
Oh, thank you.
And it was because I was in the park, got hit with a swing, and played the piano for 3-4 years on
my
the concerts. It was pretty strange.
That's super. That's really wonderful. What a gift.
It is. I've done a lot of strange things in my life, so that was just one of the beginning ones. But I loved everything you said. It took me to another place when you were speaking.
Wonderful.
was beautiful, and thank you very much for coming on the show.
Oh, thank you. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Belva. We love you. We'll talk
to you
later.
We love you, too.
Okay, sweetie. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Well, Lavendar, ask and ye shall receive. We have Joseph on the line. Hello, Joseph.
Hey, how are you? I was listening to the show, and I got interrupted by a long-distance call. And just as I hung up, I heard Lavendar say, Joseph, I know you're out there. So, oh, my goodness, what a great show.
Oh, great.
Oh, I've enjoyed it so much. And I've enjoyed Marilyn's singing over the years, too. Fabulous singer.
Oh, thank you, Joseph.
Sorry I've never had an opportunity of singing with you, but, you know, maybe it's not too late. We'll see.
Oh, I don't know. I quit about 9 years ago.
Oh, you did? Oh,
oh yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
I did.
There's a possibility I might start up again, but that's kind of iffy at the moment.
Yeah, I understand. You know, we also have a mutual friend, Mary Goslin in Winston-Salem, North Carolina.
You know Mary?
Mary and I were on the same trip to Egypt in 1988. We were the
Mary
and Joseph of that trip. Everybody made fun of us. But
well,
I studied
Reiki with Mary.
Well, I know.
I did the entire training.
I'm a Reiki teacher, too. Yeah, I've done it all, too. I'm a Reiki master teacher as well.
Oh, wonderful.
So, see all of our connections. So we've got to get on a stage together.
Good. Okay. Where do you live? Where are you?
I live out in Colorado.
Oh, that's not so far.
No, it's not so far. Not at all. I've started up singing again. I had stopped for a long time because the Reiki energy was even more satisfying than standing up on stage singing. I mean, I had to wait in between engagements with singing, but with Reiki, I could just put my hands on it. I'm always there.
You're always got it. That's right.
I'm always there, yeah. But I've spoken to Mary about you. I saw you doing some things with Tiburon, and every once in a while I'll say, oh, there she is. I wonder if she's singing. So.
No, but I did. I was in Australia this past month, and I did speak to the artistic director of the opera there. And there's a possibility, if he doesn't forget, of something, but I have to learn it first or at least work on it to tell him whether or not I think I can sing it. So we'll see. We'll see. I'm going to keep that all a quiet, sub-rosa kind of subject at the moment, but there's a possibility.
I understand. I'm just trying to think what roles you and I could do together. Do you do Carmen?
No.
Oh, well, I do Don José. I'm sorry. I do in Tosca. I do Cavaradossi.
Well,
so,
I don't think I would attempt Tosca again now.
Yeah.
It's
I
hard.
Love that show. Oh,
Tosca's difficult.
Is,
you need to be a lot younger than I am to sing Tosca.
I'm not sure.
I might sound young, but I'm not as young as I sound.
I was going to say, you sound pretty youthful to me, baby.
Well, it's nothing like archangel energy to keep you young, I'll tell you that.
That's the truth. Well, I've tapped into that myself, and I'm so thrilled to know this is what you're doing. So much of what you said sounded so familiar.
Oh, well,
anyway.
You know, I started with Mary with energy work. I had a very sick cat, and I wanted to be able to help him transition. So I went to Mary Goslin. I found her through a friend and went to her and took the cat with me. And he got initiated into first-degree Reiki.
Oh, my gosh.
Because he was in a box with a towel over the top, and he was kind of scrabbling at the box at the other end of the room, far away from us, when she started the course, teaching me. And she said, he wants to come up here. And so we brought him into the middle of where we were sitting, and he got the entire first degree of Reiki. He lived a lot longer than he should have.
Well, there you go. He lived as long as it was possible for him to live.
He did.
I've had great fun teaching children. That has been
wonderful?
A 3-year-old, and after I got through, I looked at his mother. I said, stay in touch. That one's going to be president of the universe.
Well, you know, all these masters are coming in now as little children.
Oh, yes.
Master teachers.
I know that.
They're already here. I mean, you can see them already performing. The ones that
absolutely.
Are the performers are out there famous at 15.
That's right.
You know, no obstructions in the way of their careers.
No, they're wide open. There's no impediment whatsoever.
Well, they already know how to do it.
Well, exactly. That's sort of who my students have all been people who, after like the first degree, said, I know this. And I said, well, of course you do. This is a reactivation for you, not just an activation.
Yeah.
That's exciting. That's very exciting.
Yeah.
Listen, I could sit here and talk to you forever, but I'm sure there are people who want to talk.
I tell you
Joseph,
go to the website, archangel-healing.com. Our telephone number is on there. Just give me a call.
Oh, I'd love to. That's the deal. I'm sitting here looking at it.
Ignore the machine. Just say your name or leave me your number in case we're not in the house at the time you call.
Okay.
And I'll call you back.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Much, much love.
Love to you too, Joseph.
Thank you.
Thanks,
and
Joseph.
To all you girls, those are all my girls there. You got there, Carolyn. I love every one of them. And thanks, Levendar, for calling me in.
Thanks, Joseph. We'll talk to you soon. Okay.
You bet. Bye, Aria.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
What a nice man.
Oh, Joseph is one of a kind.
Yep.
You know, it came to me to ask you if you have heard Jackie Evancho?
Yes, I have.
When she was
in the
like...
beginning, the first time I heard her, I was shocked. I was shocked because she was singing in a way that could have been destructive to her later on. Her jaw was wobbling a lot with her vibrato, and she was attempting to sound as much like a 40-year-old woman as I've ever heard anybody trying to sound. But she is apparently, now that she's with David Foster, he has pulled her back from that old-sounding operatic singing that she was doing and giving her more appropriate music for her voice at her age-appropriate music. To sing, and she's, I think, doing much better now, and I think they've got her with a teacher who's helping her to know how to apply her breath in a way that will not cause her jaw to get in the way of the sound. So I think that's a big talent. She has a lovely voice. She's a beautiful child. She's a wonderful light in the world of music, and I think she'll go far. But I must say, in the beginning, when someone pointed me to listen to a video, I was worried. I was very worried for her.
Well, there's a lot of peripheral things I'm sure that go along with that, with you know, with the recognition and the schedule and all.
Oh,
that,
yeah.
You know, all the stuff that goes around performing.
Yeah.
But the first time I heard her, I was like, man, if this is not, you know, a little angel incarnate.
Yeah.
You know, with that.
Well,
really...
now she sounds like that. Yeah. You know, in the beginning she was singing a little bit like that. You know, and not which is more appropriate for a young voice like hers.
Uh huh. Right. Well, her composure.
Yeah.
You know, the delivery of the emotion.
Yeah. Obviously a master.
Yeah. Definitely.
Just, you know, in a young body.
Yeah, you know, it does my heart good to have that. It's like reassurance, like yes, the masters are coming in.
Yeah.
You know, through the birth canal,
mm-hmm.
don't coming in the hard way. You know.
Yeah.
What do they call it? Lavendar? What do you know? Crawl in.
Crawl in.
Walk-ins. You have the walk-ins.
Oh, walk-ins. Yeah. Well, we call these crawl-ins. Yeah.
Yeah, you have the crawl-ins because they actually have to go through the toddler stage and
yeah.
all that. Yeah.
Remembering, yeah, but they remember
right.
faster, I think, than children used to.
Oh, absolutely, yeah, and it's kind of a shame because there's so much wonder and innocence in the, you know, childhood. Maybe not as much today, but you know, when we were all children,
mm-hmm.
that. You can't really get any more because of the society we live in, and if you're already born, if you're born of this, you know, masterful energies, some of that, I don't know, that just, you know, that silly childhood, silly joy that you get from, you know, playing in the sandbox. So I'm wondering if they're missing that.
Well, I think some of them are, but I don't think they care. frankly.
Well, yeah, no, that's not why they came.
No, they didn't right. come to play in a sandbox. They came to teach.
Right, right. Cool. Well, if we have any more questions or comments for Marilyn, please, people on the switchboard, you have to press 1.
Ask me anything.
Ask her anything. Oh, boy, you just threw the door open. Hey, questions for Marilyn? You must have answered everyone's questions because no one is pressing 1 here.
Okay. Well, I'm glad they're listening.
Well, yeah, I think they are spellbound.
Yeah. Well, we invite all of you to come to the website. It's www.archangel-healing.com. Or to, I have another website, which is my full name, but it's a little bit difficult to spell. So that's www.marilyn, spelled M-A-R-I-L-Y-N. You can get it off of the website, I just realized, for the show, -shao-bars.com. And that is one that's set up by the publishing company, Balboa Press, for the book. So it's got a little bit more information in there and a couple of chapters from the book that you can read. And the link in the shop there takes you to archangel-healing.com so that you can buy the book from me instead of from Balboa Press, because we have a lot of them in the basement. And we would love to send them out to you. And you can pay through PayPal or use credit cards through PayPal, and it's very easy. And I know that you all will love the book once you have it. You know, when I opened up the box of the first one copy that they sent me for approval and I held it up to my heart, I burst into tears because of the energy that was coming in from the pages, from the ink, and from the words that you could feel just through the cover. By the way, that cover art that you can see on the picture of the book there is by my friend Walter Bruneel, B-R-U-N-E-E-L. And his website is walterbruneel.com, where you can see more of his absolutely gorgeous art, his digital art, which is absolutely fantastic. Just want to get a little plug in there for Walter.
Well, surely you may. And just as they, as the archangels told you, the book itself physically contains the energy, the ink, the pages, and the words.
All of the energy.
Yes, all of the energy. So even just owning the book and having it in your house would be a good thing.
Yeah, holding it. Holding it can help you to change your vibrations. Once it's in your energy field, you will feel all of their energies. Just close your eyes and tune into your heart and put the book on your heart. I met a girl at an exposition. My husband and I have been doing a few small expositions throughout California where we live. And one girl wrote me an email and said, I go to sleep every night with the open book on my heart. And I thought that was so sweet. She said, it's just so wonderful and comforting and makes her feel so good right before she sleeps.
Well, that's great. And Marilyn, I might say that our Starseed community always kind of believes in paying it forward. So if you buy one, then buy one and pay it forward for a friend.
Yeah, very nice.
Be a wonderful gift.
Yeah.
Well, as is your presence here with us tonight, Marilyn, a wonderful
Thank
gift.
You.
And we so have enjoyed the information that you have brought to us from the Archangels. And I really encourage everyone to visit the website, get a copy of the book, buy a copy for a friend. And I do want to invite all of you to come back next week, same time, same place. Next week is the spring solstice, I mean the spring equinox, so it's going to be a real special show. And did you know what, Lavendar? Next week is our two-year anniversary. Exactly 2 years ago was our first radio show, March
12th. Oh, congratulations.
Yeah, and it's Athena's birthday, and it's also Kathleen McGowan's birthday.
Oh, isn't it fabulous?
Yeah, so join us all next week. And once again, Marilyn Shao, the website is archangel-healing.com, and please do go and get a book for yourself and your friends.
Thanks.
So with that, thank you so much, Marilyn. And,
thank you.
all of us here at Starseed Radio Academy. Thank you to Sahar for helping out on the switchboard, from Lavendar and Sierra and myself. Thank you so much, and we'll see you next week on the Equinox. Okay?
Okay.
Good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody.
So
lots of love.
Love to you, too. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye.
You're listening to Starseed Radio Academy, empowering Starseed to better serve the planet.